Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Beer Ladies podcast. Do not adjust your screen. For people who are not watching this on YouTube, I am dressed in a yellow wolf's hat. Face mask? Hat mask? I don't know. I'm trying to emulate an entry in this year's Eurovision Song Contest, and that is what our episode is about today. It is our now annual Eurovision Song Contest episode.
Yes.
Okay, so and if you like this and if you like Eurovision and you want to tell all your friends, you can follow us on at Beer Ladies Podcast on Instagram, at Beer Ladies Pod on Twitter. We're YouTube/ Beer Ladies Podcast. We're also on Facebook. You can buy us a coffee so that we can make more wonderful masks like this. and we're not wearing merch today, but we have merch as well. So if you want to wear a Beer Ladies t-shirt out and about, if we go, oh look, you're a beer lady, we can identify you in public. So please like, share, subscribe, and this episode will basically tell you all you need to know so that you can impress your friends in the pub about the Eurovision and pretend you know stuff. So as always, we're going to start off with, what are you drinking? Carolyn is in Texas where it's 8 a.m. So she is totally excused from the beer today.
I'm drinking a Dr. Pepper, which is very Texas of me. So there we go.
And this beer, we have decided, has a theme of, it's a country in the Eurovision that we really like. So let's start with Lisa.
So I am drinking a Lervig House Party, and Lervig is from Norway. And I think we're going to be hearing a lot about Norway today, but plenty more out there.
And Tandy?
Yep. So as we all know, we've got awful things happening in Ukraine. So I didn't try too hard, but I really wanted a Ukrainian beer because I love Ukraine's entry. But I did get Ballykilkevin, which is the Resist, the anti-imperial stout, which has got the Ukrainian colors on it. And it was brewed using a recipe given to the world by Ukrainian brewers and home brewers. And it's in fact a beer that we're going to be brewing ourselves, some of us within the Beer Ladies. So very excited for this. And it's an anti-imperial stout and it's got beetroot in it. But I just wanted to quickly mention that I put it into this Wicklow Wolf glass, but I did that because of the wolf. So that's my little hit. That's my little nod to Norway, is having the wolf on the glass.
And my beer is from Oslo. It is a brewery called a Munsten Brewery. Oh. And if you're on, the artwork is really nice on the can. It's called Everyday Hero. It's a New World IPA. And obviously our selection of European beers is slightly limited, I suppose. But we all managed to find something interesting. I'm going to take off the mask now because it's absolutely boiling in here.
you get 12 points to you, Katie, for wearing a Eurovision spy mask.
Here. It's amazing. And it'll be on all of our socials. We're going to keep sharing the love this one.
It was made from, I'd say, like, you print it out onto, like, I'd say 12 pieces of paper, cut them all out, and then glue them all together. So, yeah. That is dedication.
That really is. Eurovision's okay. Biggest fan right there.
Oh, I'm not definitely not the biggest. I just enjoy it. Okay. Eurovision is for the people, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's for everyone. Okay. So we're going to go straight into it, right? Actually, Tandy, last year you were a newbie.
I was.
You were a complete noob. Tell us about your experience last year.
Okay. So last year, I think something about the pandemic and something about a lot of you guys in terms of our sort of friendship groups and everybody was talking about Eurovision. And I had heard of Eurovision sort of vaguely, but I didn't really know much about it. And so between 2020 and 2021, because 2020 was cancelled, the same artists were allowed to represent the countries last year in 2021. So it was a really like unique experience in that I could go and hear two different songs from the same artists, and it made for a really interesting environment, I'd say, because instead of every year there being a new set of artists and a new set of songs, it made for something to get really excited about because it was cancelled 2020. So 2021, I got so deep into Eurovision. It's like my latest obsession, and I'm now convinced it's like 4 months of the year where there's nothing else that I think about. It is now Eurovision. So last year I went really deep into, okay, who are the artists and what are their messages and their meanings and who's shit and who's great and, you know, all of the things. And I'll tell you what did happen was that I learned a shit ton after the final and after the semifinals, because I had never watched a semifinal or a final before, and seeing my favorite artists like not get votes or not doing as well as what I thought they would was heartbreaking to me. But also it was really interesting because I think you get the sort of crowd of Eurovision nerds, you know, if you vibe with it. And these are the sort of people that are obsessing, you know, month in and month out about the Eurovision entries. But most of the people who watch Eurovision are only watching it on those nights. That's it. Yeah. So first impressions are so important. And I learned that after last year. So this year, I think I've got a bit more of an educated, maybe a little bit more of an educated guess as to what will do well and what won't, based on first impressions only. Because we can go so deep into the reason that this song is an artistic masterpiece, but if it doesn't impress, you know, the Joe Soap sitting at home on the night with the cell phone, well, it's not going to do that well, is it? So I feel like now I know a little bit more, and I'm very excited.
And you can like check into their background and the performance and stuff, but until they perform on the night,
everything to play for.
That's the other thing is that, you know, you're seeing in the months leading up to the semis and to the finals, you're seeing music videos or you're seeing very well curated performances that they've done through different things. So you're seeing them often at their best. And actually what happens on the night is that they're often not at their best, which is desperately heartbreaking.
Yes, like the poor Irish girl last year where things went wrong, technically, you know, not her fault. And never know. And there's a long history in Eurovision of things going wrong on the night from a technical perspective. So
yeah,
always happens.
Yeah,
definitely. Yep. Okay, so from that, we have a lot of countries to go through. So we're going to run through them. Semi-final one is on Tuesday, the 10th of May. Mm. Ireland cannot vote in that one, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, because we would all give the wolf a banana, you know.
We would. It's going to become a euphemism for something, isn't it? I love it.
Completely. I think it already has. It's its own meme.
So opening the Eurovision will be Ronella for Albania with the song Secret. What do we think?
I think I'll start with the elephant in the room, which is that semifinal one is so much more packed than semifinal two, just from a interesting songs perspective, you know, all of that. But that said, this one, it's really going to suffer. It doesn't necessarily stand out. It's going first. Again, your point about, you know, what happens on the night, like it has a weird video that's sort of medieval murder, Game of Thrones, something, something, something. It's in English, so it'll at least get a little, maybe something there, but it's just not memorable.
Interesting. Yeah. The thinking, I guess, about the running order and how important the running order is to the votes tends to go with those placed later on, or sometimes very early on, will tend to do better. It's the sort of middle that suffers a little bit. So I think that Secret's actually going to open up quite strong. Like, I think the song is quite cool. And I think that she is quite a good performer. And I think it'll be a really good opening for the contest. I think she'll qualify, but I don't think she'll win. You know, I think
I agree on that. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to agree on that as well. I think Secret, Ronella is well known in Albania. And I think a lot of the Balkan countries will probably vote for her. I should say that the semi-final one and semi-final two draw was slightly different this year in that they had like their pools. So they had, I mean, it's been, people have been complaining about block voting in the past. So what they did was they created blocks, I suppose, and then they selected the semi-finals so that you wouldn't have too many members of the same block. So you had like your Scandi block, your Balkan block, your like Eurasian block, your Eastern European block, Mediterranean block, and your Western block. So there you go.
I always actually wondered how they pulled that and how they decided on the order, because it's one of those things that it's not random. So it always looks as if someone's out to get somebody, you know?
Yeah.
Or someone's out to promote someone.
They do the draw from the blocks for semi-final one, semi-final two, and then it depends on the staging. So if something has quite a technical staging, it will be on maybe after an advert. So that they have time to get the stage ready. So
that makes sense.
And then I really don't know how they do the rest of the order. Maybe we should find out. Someone will tell us.
Yeah. No, I think Albania's got a good shot of going through. And yeah. I think she's cool. But I agree with you, Lisa. That video was very Game of Thrones, eagle.
Something
very strange. But I thought it was quite a catchy song, actually. Not a bad one.
Okay. Moving on to Latvia. Now, this is just a face. Oh, my God. So Citizeni with Eat Your Salad. And really, it's not a bad sentiment in the song, but the first line just turns me off.
Yeah, okay. So if you go and look at the Eurovision Reddit, like the subreddit, people love this song. They love this band and they think that they are the absolute bee's knees. And I don't understand it. I think it is so awful. And like, I don't think that the being green is cool or being green is hot is a strong enough message through the song to make it anything more than a joke entry. I think it's absolutely awful.
Yeah, I am the same. Will it do well? Yes, it's absolutely going through to the final. No question there. It will probably finish in the top four or five. But yeah, I'm the same. I absolutely hate it.
Words.
I absolutely hate it. But people will vote for it. It's got that kind of thing about it. But and I think I know we've talked amongst ourselves that the original version of the song was also just kind of gross. They made some changes to it.
Oh, have they made changes?
That's my understanding. Now we'll find out on the night. But it was just, it feels very try hard. I don't like it.
Because honestly, if that opening line is played, we'll just say in a sitting room in Ireland and Mammy is sitting there, she's going, what? Whereas the teenage son would be like, I'm voting for these guys. So will we say the line?
It's like, for those who don't know, it's the first line is, I like to eat my, is it
no,
my
greens? No, I don't like meat. Oh, I just eat veggies and pussy.
Pussy, exactly. So,
and you're like, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. For full disclosure, I have not watched anything of Eurovision. I've only watched the American Song Contest. This is all new to me. So that's why I was laughing. Oh, no.
So this one, it's like, initially it's got a little bit of like a shock factor and you're like, whoa, okay. The video, okay, you can't judge it on the video because the videos are not shown on the night. But the video was kind of this this idea of a dating show and about this guy who's basically vegan and likes to eat, you know, whatever, coming out on top, even though he is, you know, clearly, or at least maybe physically, not the best looking guy on the stage. I don't know. It's just, for me, this is a joke entry. I think it's shit. I really do.
And I'm sorry, what country is this?
Latvia.
Latvia.
Got it.
Latvia. Yeah. So you can look that one up after this.
Yeah. So, but yes, we are in agreement. It is a hard pass for us. Hard pass on Latvia.
Okay.
Let's move on. Lithuania, Monica Liu's Sentimentate. Mm. I actually really like this. This is kind of very jazzy.
Mm.
Like you could imagine going into like a jazz cafe of the, I don't know, the 40s and have Monica. I like to listen to it.
It grew on me. I think it's, I don't know that it's a Eurovision song, but I do think that the actual tune grew on me. You know, she's got a very distinctive look. Although I will say I watched the stripped back version of it that's up on the Eurovision channel, and it veers a little bit into kind of self-parody. It's almost like, I think the way my husband put it is, was she's like an Andrea Martin character from SCTV or something, where just like in a jazz club, and it's a little much. But again, I think, you know, good song. This is good exposure for her. It will probably go through, but not do terribly well. But you know, it doesn't have a Eurovision vibe, but it does have a vibe. It's just I think a different vibe.
Yeah, it is. You know, I've heard people describing it as something of like a palate cleanser, in that it is quite different.
Interesting.
It's got the sort of bluesy, jazzy, you know, single woman on stage, just her and herself. So it's kind of a little bit France 2021 in a sense. Sure. But yeah, I don't think the song is strong enough to really do that well. I think you're right, Lisa. I think it'll qualify, but
and I think especially it's being in English is going to maybe be a tougher one for this kind of song. I think you can, it's easier to do well with some of those, if you know, again, if you're in sort of one of the big five and you have a language that a lot of people understand. I think it's tougher in for some of the smaller countries.
Okay, we'll move on to Switzerland. Mariusz Bär.
Okay, so for those who don't know, Mariusz Bär has got the song called Boys Do Cry, which is about the most obvious thing that anybody could say, firstly. But it's this really big boy ballad thing. And I think it's supposed to be very touching, and it's supposed to be very cathartic, and it's supposed to, like, you know, let boys and men feel as if they're allowed to feel emotions, which shouldn't even be debatable at this point. But it's just actually so boring.
Yeah.
It's so boring. Like every time, if I'm listening to the playlist, whatever, it comes on and I'm like, oh, can't. I just can't. I skip it.
Yeah, the same. And there are so many better ballads in male ballads, even in the Eurovision this year. What were you going to say, Lisa?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, it really sort of hammers at them, because I'm looking at my notes and I have a very extensive, like several pages of type notes that we'll put up on our socials. But, you know, for this one, I have English, this is awful. Good God, this is awful. But then what if non-toxic masculinity, but awful. So it's it's a no.
Not nice message, shit song.
Yes. And I think there are other countries on the same theme as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, so anyway. Mm-hmm. Right. Let's move on to Slovenia. LPS Disco. This was really kind of bland for me.
Mm.
What do you think? I don't even know that it will qualify.
I don't know if it will qualify. I liked things about it. I liked the energy of it. I liked their look. I do like that it had a good kind of, you know, I mean, it's called disco. It did have a kind of disco bass line. But does that together, do all of those things make a whole? I'm not quite sure. Girl bassist, there are a lot of those that featured. So again, it's not unique. But I did like it. Again, it didn't seem very Eurovision-y exactly, but I have a feeling, given the strength of the first semifinal, that it probably won't go through.
No.
Mm.
Yeah.
This is my fourth from the bottom. So number 36 out of 40. and it's only beaten by Switzerland, Latvia,
ooh,
and one that we'll talk about,
ooh,
I'm sure,
ooh,
just about next. But for tough me, this company was so, yeah, no, this was a hot mess for me. And it's a young band, young guy, like as the front singer. And I think he's got a lovely voice, but I think the style, it's like, it was meant to be this sort of disco thing, but it's like kind of slow disco kind of, but I don't know. It's like the style is not ready for a revival yet for me.
Interesting.
It's not there yet.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
I didn't hate the song. I just didn't really like the song. It was just meh, you know?
Right.
Mm.
Okay, moving on. Mm-hmm. Ukraine, Kalush Orchestra with Stefania.
Okay. I have thoughts.
So, just a bit of background. This was not the official entry chosen by the public for Ukraine. There was issues with politics and entering the Ukraine from Crimea. I don't know. I don't understand it.
And this all happened before everything kicked off, which I think is important for context. But yeah, there were issues, which, you know, I'm sure we're not going to be mentioned on the night, but
yeah. No, but this is my number one. So Ukraine is my number one. And I think a lot of people think that Ukraine is going to get a sympathetic vote. And I think that will probably play a part. Okay. It probably will.
Sure. Sure.
Now in the semifinal, look, I think that they're a sure like ringer for the semifinal. They'll qualify.
Oh yeah.
It'll, I think the final we'll see. Right. But Ukraine for me is so, so cool. I just love it. So they've got this interesting mix of almost folksy white noise, almost like a little bit white singing, a little bit reminiscent of Goa and Shum in 2021. So there is some of that, which seems now, I'm now associating this with Ukrainian music, which is awesome. They've got that flute, that instrument, which sounds epic. And they've got this interluding hip hop rap thing, which I didn't think I would like, but actually it just, for me, it just works.
They work well together. Yeah. Man, and in fact, speaking of Goa and Shum, the fellow on the flute, or it probably has a real name, the traditional instrument, it's the same guy. So welcome back,
because
so much last year, just, you know, so phenomenal. Much. And, you know, obviously can't just get the band back together because there's some stuff going on. They also had to swap out one of their backing vocalists because he's off fighting, you know, a literal war. So I'm sure that will be mentioned. And again, I think it's though, it won't just be sympathy votes, as you're saying. I think there's a strong, there's a really strong musical, what's a good word? Just that they're very strong with what they're bringing to the table. And I really like it. I like that mix of the hip hop, the traditional instruments. It is one of my top ones as well.
Yeah. And the bookies are agreeing with you. So Ukraine is number one of the bookies at the moment.
Oh.
But I wonder if they're banking on a sympathy vote as opposed to the jury vote. And I think Rogan, my son, he's convinced that Ukraine will win. He's not even debating this anymore. He's like, Ukraine's going to win because people are going to vote for them because of the war. And I'm like, no, that completely demeans the fact that this is an amazing song from a really cool band. And I think if they won out of sympathy, that would be a crime. Like that would be really, really shit.
But also not on the sympathy vote thing. I think that Ukrainian refugees now have flooded the rest of
Europe. That's a good point.
That they are going to be voting. They'll be eligible in all of the countries that they're in. So the televote is definitely going to blow up for Ukraine.
Yeah, good point. I think, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the song so much.
So Ukraine is one to watch, definitely, so far. Next, Bulgaria, Intelligent Music Project. I'm going to say my comments here were like, aged rockers shouldn't really have tried. Like, they're not bad. They're having a bit of fun. What do you think?
They're like Nickelback with slightly and you know what? I don't even hate Nickelback, but they're like but they are, they're just like, they're a bit old, and not in the age way. I just feel like the style is old, like what they're doing feels dated. You know, it's not my bottom, but it's just, it's not even close to the middle for me.
I just had old dudes rocking, sort of poor man's Foo Fighters, but you know, at the end of the day, perfectly competent in what it is. It's just not that interesting.
It's not interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Bulgaria might not make it through. Netherlands.
Did not care for this.
Okay. You didn't.
I didn't. It did not work for me. It did not work for me. But it sounds like you have a different opinion, which is we are allowed to have different opinions.
So it is S10 is the name of the beautiful young singer. It's a song, Dijepte. I don't know if that's pronounced right. And it is one of the first times since English was introduced as a language that the song is in Dutch. I thought it was okay. Like, I'm not getting the hype about it, to be honest. But you are, Tandy, are you?
You know what? It's not my top 10. It's like 13 on my list. But I think it's a bit of a banger in the sense that, like, I think it's very catchy. At first, I thought, why do we have so many do-do-do's and ah-ah-ahs, you know, blank notes in the song? But actually, I really like it. And maybe it's also because I understand a lot of the lyrics. Because Afrikaans and Dutch are quite similar. So I think I get it. But I think it is not nearly as offensive or as bland as a lot of the other entries. Yeah. So for me, this is top 15 for sure. I think it's lovely.
Yeah. And if you're not sure about the do-do-do-da-da-da, you should go back and look at some vintage Eurovision, because there's a lot of do-do-do. Because when you had to sing in your national tongue in order to make a song popular with other countries, they would like put in lyrics that other countries could easily remember and sing.
That makes sense.
So Netherlands will probably qualify. Won't win.
I think it'll go through.
Yeah.
Okay. Moldova. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce this.
Oh my god.
Ziob. Is this the
music? Folk and rock and roll on the train. Oh my god.
No, sorry.
Okay. Now see, I actually liked it. I'm gonna be slightly slightly controversial. So part of the reason I liked it, and this will not matter on the night, is that if you watch the whole video, it is really fun. They have a whole narrative. They're on a train. They're sneaking a carpet through. It's actually a lot of fun. Again, it's very sort of self-aware. It's not taking itself seriously. I have to say, again, I'll confess, I like an accordion in the right space. Now, that said, I don't expect normal people to like it. So I'm not expecting it to go through necessarily, but I just want to say I enjoyed what they did for the video. I think it's a little, you know, it's a bit of fun. I'm still not quite sure what it means, but I actually enjoyed it. So.
I don't know. No. And like, I do think there is like an East-West divide in Europe with the music. Yeah. And this is just not my style of music.
No.
And you'd never know. Like last year, Goa and Shum didn't really stand out until the actual shows. And then the performance was amazing. Yeah. So.
I liked Goa from the beginning last year. But that's besides. Moldova for me, by the way, is my literal number 40. It is. I hate this beyond any other song, and actually, I quite like an accordion, and I quite like the way that music can be very folksy and very upbeat and very traditional sounding based on a country that it's from. But this one, I don't know, man. It just didn't. It didn't do it for me at all. It was there.
Okay, Portugal, with a band Maro, Saudade. Is the song. This didn't do it for me, but I know it did it for others. This is just too fell asleep. Listen to it. Like
I feel bad. I feel like this is very reductive of me, but I have the Portuguese All Saints and I just didn't do much.
I absolutely love this song. I love it. It's my, as of today, it's my top four.
So interesting.
I do love it. But now I think that there is going to be a theme in my tops this year, because the songs that have been either dreamy and floaty are scoring high with me this year. And this one is just gorgeous. I think I don't know if she is Mauro or if the band is Mauro, but she is phenomenal. She reminds me a bit of like Nelly Furtado mixed with Alicia Keys, with the way that she sort of looks and sounds. She's very chilled. She's very almost naked. Like there's no fanciness to anything. And the song for me is just beautiful. Saudade means it's a Portuguese word, and it translates to something along the lines of like a deep longing, like a sad longing for somebody.
Like a yearning.
It's like a yearning. So she's singing this about her grandfather, but it could be sung about a boyfriend or a husband or in anybody, you know, whatever the case is. I just think it's gorgeous. I think it's very simple. Very well harmonized, beautiful, love it.
I did like the harmonies. I thought that was well done.
Okay, so maybe it'll probably qualify, won't win.
I think it'll qualify. It being in the middle is probably not the best placement for her, but if it's going to follow Moldova, so I think it'll do okay.
And then after Portugal we have Croatia, Mia Dimsic with Guilty Pleasure. So I think she's kind of like a Croatian Taylor Swift-ish vibe.
Yeah.
She's playing the guitar, very probably won't win. Not sure if it'll qualify, but it's very, very nice to listen to.
And it had that acrobat, which, you know, again, from a Eurovision perspective, I don't know if there will be an acrobat on the night, but you know, in the qualifying, there you go.
No, they've apparently nixed him. He's gone.
Gone. No acrobat for gone. You.
Yeah, no acrobat for you. So I think her staging will be quite a lot different to the qualifying and all of that. So
interesting.
I think the song itself is quite nice.
Yeah.
But I think in this year's lineup, it's just a little bit on the forgettable side.
Yeah.
It's a bit generic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it was very professional, but a bit generic.
Okay, we're going to speed it up here, or else we're going to be here for hours. Next one is Denmark, ready with the show. So I feel like this is like the female equivalent of Bulgaria.
Like, honestly, yeah. I liked this one actually. I did, but I like you know, I like a ladies rock band, so it was, you know, that kind of a thing. But they are all sort of as I understand it, sort of well known individually. They're sort of a super group. So, you know, I think they've just been brought together for a one-off, but I don't know that it's Eurovision again, but you know, Rock won last year. So things happen. I don't know if it'll go through though. It depends on the mood of the, you know, the mood of the audience, because it's very different for this lineup. So.
Mm. Yeah, nah. Doesn't do it for me. No bueno.
Not for me either. Sorry.
Nah. Oh, well.
Next one, we have Austria, which is Lumix featuring Pia Maria. And Halo. So Lumix is the DJ, Pia Maria is the vocals.
Okay.
I really like the audio version of this. However, I have heard, well, I listened to some of her from the Eurovision Israel show, and the lyric, it wasn't great. So it will all come down to performance on this one. I have no idea how it's going to go. I like it. Yeah. Though. And
there had been sort of the scuttlebutt was that, oh, she can't sing live. And then it was, oh no, it was just technical problems, which again could be, you know, we'll find out. So
we'll see.
Yeah. I thought this was a nice kind of like a club anthem. It's very boppy, dancey, but it's not going to do, nah, doesn't feature for me.
Okay. Iceland. This year, unfortunately, after 2 years of a Daddy Freyr, who myself and Tandy are going to see in June.
Can't wait.
We have Sister. I'm not going to, it's in Icelandic. And I believe this is three generations of the same family. Is that right?
They're sisters.
Oh, they're sisters.
They're actual sisters.
This, I felt, has a very Portugal vibe. Is this the dreamy?
It's funny because I really liked this one. I didn't like the Portuguese one as much, but I did really like this. You know.
So this is my number three. Yeah. Ooh, okay. I love this song. It's dreamy and floaty, and it's got a little bit of like a 70s hippie vibe to the staging and their dress. I just think it's gorgeous. They've got beautiful harmonies. They work very well together. And I don't think it's not like going to stand out in terms of being a banger or being different, but man, I love it. And I'd love to see it do well. I really would.
Okay. We will move on to Greece. Amanda Tenford, Die Together.
Okay.
I was just like, it's another Greek.
Just generic ballad.
Ballads.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see now, again, if you go to Eurovision subreddit.
They love it.
They love it over there. And that's obviously people from a lot of different countries. Sure. Now, initially when I heard this, there's that like weird auto-tune thing in the beginning that initially put me off. I think the song is actually really cool and I like it. I think it's actually now in my top 12-ish, but I do like it. But I don't know if it's going to do as well as what the Eurovision geeks think it's going to do. That's my feeling.
You know, she might pull it out of the bag on the night and do an amazing performance. Yeah. And, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
But it hasn't lit any fires for us. Now, let's move on to number 16, Norway, who we all love. So,
I love Norway less than you two, though.
Yeah. If anybody who hasn't seen the video for Norway, the band is Subwoofer. The song is Give the Wolf a Banana. If you have not seen the video, you have to go and see it. This is where my mask was inspired from.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two guys, I don't know what they are. They are aliens called Keith and Jim. And I'm just going to quickly read out their bio, okay? So brothers Keith and Jim met 4.5 billion years ago when the moon was a separate planet. Since then, they have conquered every planet in the universe with their music and therefore are the largest band in the galaxy. On June 20th, 1969, a prophet called Neil came down from heaven.
I love it.
They called him the man with the strongest arms.
I love it.
He promised to help Keith and Jim become superstars on Earth. Neil, unfortunately, never came back, but Subwoofer got hold of DJ Astronaut and have now come to Earth. And they will now they will look for Neil, take the musical throne with the song Give the Wolf a Banana. So there we go.
I love it. To me, it's sort of the platonic ideal of a Eurovision song. Like, it's got everything. it's almost like, you know, without wanting to seem sort of cynical about it, it's almost like when the KLF were like, here's what you need to do to write a pop song, they kind of were like, here's what we need to do to write a Eurovision song. But I'm here for it. I love it. I'm very much, you know, hoping that they in Ukraine are 1-2 somewhere. My 7-year-old is absolutely adamant that only Norway can win. She has been obsessed with the song since it came out. So, you know, it appeals to across generations.
So I have thoughts about this one, because when I first heard it, I was like, oh my God, this is Eurovision personified. Like, this is it. This is what we need in our lives. This is Eurovision, right? Now, the thing is, and I think it'll do well for this exact reason. For me, it aged a little quickly for me. So the more I've listened to it and the more I've like listened to other songs, for me, it became one of those that I would skip as opposed to listen to the whole thing. So it kind of, it's got this like novelty to it, but that wears out for me quite quickly. It's still in my top 15, but it's not in my top 10 anymore.
Interesting.
I really like it. I think it's a banger. I think it is a floor filler if you're in a club, if you're in Coppers, you know, the night of Eurovision. Definitely. I really like it. And
I think it'll do well. I think it'll do very well.
Do I think it'll win? Well, we'll talk about if it'll win or not later, but I think it'll qualify, definitely. And then last in semi-final one is Armenia, Rosa Lynn with Snap.
I like the song. I think it's very nice.
It's nice and a bit forgettable. And
what I do like about it is that she's not playing into typical female songstress stereotypes and wearing short shorts and dancing in the rain.
Sure.
Like, I like the fact that she's wearing normal clothes, well, in the video at least, normal clothes and a beanie, and she's in cold weather and she's in a floating house. I think that is cool. So I like her for that.
Okay. We'll quickly move on to semi-final two. Okay. Number one, Finland, the Rasmus, Jezebel. I just think rocker, boring. Yeah.
But again, very professional. He's known, you know, I think especially given this lineup, he will 100% go through, because again, I think we'll be pretty quick because a lot of this night is not great. So
yeah. Semi-final two is definitely the weaker semi-final.
Definitely. And you know, the Rasmus were cool a while ago, and he's very cool. Like, he's got a great voice, got a great presence, but I don't think the song is that strong.
The song's not amazing.
It's very repetitive.
Then number two, we have Israel, who may or may not perform because there are security issues in Israel at the moment, so he may not be allowed to travel. The song is I Am by Michael Ben David, and it's a poppy.
It's a bit Eurovision by the numbers, which again, you know, I just sort of praised Norway for something similar, but I felt like this was just a little too, you know, hitting those right notes, and that was about it.
Yeah, for me it's top 20, but it's middle of the road, you know.
Yeah,
like yeah.
No.
Okay, next one, Serbia, Constructa. And this one for me, I listened to it first and I wasn't really a fan, and then I listened to it more and I end up like singing it in my head now when I'm going around the house, and I'm totally into it. So I don't know. Tell me what you think.
Same for me. I wasn't initially into it. And it's got this weird beginning where it talks about what is the secret to Meghan Markle's healthy hair? And it's obviously spoken or sung in Serbian. But you do hear Meghan Markle like really distinctly. So for me, it was like, what on earth is this woman singing about? And even when I read the lyrics, I was like, what on earth is she singing about? Like, I don't understand this thing. But okay, so this is one for the Eurovision nerds. So it's probably not going to appeal to the public on a first time viewing as it will to the people who have been obsessing over Eurovision for months. But this song is a freaking masterpiece. It's a masterclass in performative art, if there's anything, because she, in all of her performances, she's not dancing. She's hardly singing. She's sitting and washing her hands the whole way through. And it's a message. The song is about, it's a message about the poor healthcare system in Serbia, especially for independent artists and things like that. And it's talking about how having a healthy body does not equate to a healthy mind. And it's got all of these other meanings. But I think that that message and the real power behind it is a little bit lost in Eurovision. Although I do think it's hell of a catchy.
It is, especially when it comes to the Bette Bene, Bette Strada, Bette Strada. Yeah.
So cool.
That yeah. just
very cool.
is in my head.
She's got a little bit of a viral movement going with that thing, and I think that's going to help. But I think she'll qualify. I don't think that she'll win.
This is another one. I think this is the performance on the night, because it's going to be the first time so many people see it. It's yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And yeah. also I've heard that water isn't going to be allowed on stage. So I don't know if she'll be washing her hands for health and safety reasons on the night.
Maybe she'll have hand sanitizer.
So she might, have to change something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we hope she'll qualify, definitely. Mm. We hope people get it. Mm. Right. Azerbaijan, Nadir Rustameli, Fade to Black.
This is one I have a strong feeling about, but it's a but, because the song he sang in the qualifying was bonkers and insane. And you know, he was the thing I always look for every year in Eurovision. He was basically a spangly sex vampire. I'm here for it. And he was, you know, he's an operatic countertenor. So I was like, yes, I'm always, if you remember Georgia from a few years back, where you had that guy who was sort of like rose up on, sort of in his black outfit. It was like that. And then we get this really generic song. They switch to this other song and it's just kind of a very forgettable ballad. I'm like, you know, bring it. Don't just, I feel like they've half-assed it. I'm just disappointed.
It does feel like half-assed. And the fact that he's talking, like there's too many lines in that song where he's complaining about the weather. And I'm like, I just don't care.
No. Right. Georgia, Circus Mercus, slap me in.
Okay.
Okay. You've got to look. I want to know about this.
So initially when I heard the song, I was like, this is the worst song of the whole year. What on earth is this shite? But actually it's grown on me. It's got a bit of a Britpop vibe from like the 90s. And I really like the chorus. Like I really, really like the chorus. I'm very confused by his presence, his staging, his kind of look and about him. But I do actually think it's kind of cool. I don't know if it'll do well, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm
not for you.
It's not for me. I just
nothing on it. Yeah. Mm.
It's like this one and Moldova.
Yeah. Similar vibes.
Similar vibes. And I feel like you'll probably like one over the other.
I prefer this one over Moldova.
I prefer this one. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next one is Malta, Emma Muscat, who also did a switcheroo with her song, and she changed one boring song for another boring song. So I don't know why she did it. Anyway,
this is such a snooze fest.
Not my I am what I am. That's just gonna say that.
And I think it's actually very irritating that she is a pretty blonde lady singing with a bunch of kind of marginalized people from society talking about I am what I am and be proud of yourself. Fuck off. Like, seriously. No, it irritates me. So
okay, San Marino, Achille Lauro, Stripper. I quite liked this song.
You know what? The song has grown on me. I'm still like, is it okay to name your artistic self after a terrorist event? I guess it is now. So, and I'm like, is it too soon? Because I guess it was a long time ago that the Achille Lauro sank. So for those who were not alive, you can look up the Achille Lauro. It was a whole thing. There was a boat. But I feel like it's slightly try hard, but the song kind of bangs. And that's where I keep coming back to it. Like, I feel like he's trying a little bit hard. But the song's now, it's an earworm. That's where I am with it.
Same. I'm Sam. I'm with Lisa. Tandy's like, nah.
Nah, this one doesn't do it for me. This one for me is a really bad, trying too hard carbon copy of Italy 2021. So like,
it's really trying. I agree with that.
Måneskin. And he doesn't have near the stage presence.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. He's such a loser compared. So no. This one's not for me.
Okay. So maybe. Australia, Sheldon Riley, not the same. I think this is a better version of what Switzerland was trying to do, but still not amazing.
Agreed.
Probably will qualify.
Yeah, I like the performance. And I was trying to think, has Australia gone through to the finals at any point since they've been in, or have they always been knocked out at the semis? I'm not sure.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't know. I mean, but I like, you know, understood the assignment. Very extra in the performance, in the styling, like love that. Again, is the song quite enough? I don't know, but again, much better than others in this vein.
And we have been told to watch out for the outfit on the night.
Yes.
There we go.
45 kilograms of feathers coming our way, apparently.
Well,
so,
yes.
Right.
Oh,
I also think it's like one of these kind of like, it's a powerful boy ballad in a sense. And I think the message is quite good, but I don't know. For me, it's a bit of a nope.
And we have quite a few power ballad boy ballads in this semifinal as well.
We do.
So. Mm. I don't know. It'll all be down to the performance on which one stands out.
Did everybody just want to copy John's tears? Because I mean, obviously clearly did well. So. Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know where he was going with his high-waisted trousers. Anyway, really, Cyprus, yeah. Andromache, Ella.
By all accounts, this one should be high for me because it's one of these kinds of dreamy ethnic kind of songs, but it falls flat for me. It's not great.
It just is. I'm not a fan. Sorry.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, Cyprus, probably won't go through. Next one, Ireland, Brooke. That's rich. What do you think? I'll get your opinions first.
Okay. So the first time I watched the video, right? And I think the video is so bad that it makes the song sound worse than what it is. If I've listened to the song without the video, I actually like this. It's okay. Like, I don't love it, but it's actually not a bad song. And I could see it doing quite well in like the clubs and dance scene in a sense, because it is quite a little, it's a bop. But man, that video did it a disservice. And I don't know how it's going to be staged.
To me, this one all comes down again to the performance on the night. And I have to say, if you look at her more recent videos, like, she is growing in confidence and, she is getting better and better as a performer. She may, totally nail it on the night. And again, she seems to be having a good time. So fair play to her. Well done. I still don't think it's the best song, but again, given this mix, she may well go through just because it's not an amazing group. And if she brings a good performance, there you go.
And I also think that, so the UK can vote in our semi-finals. So the Northern Irish vote will be with her. Brooke is from Derry. I think that her performance on the Late Late Show at the selection, where she was like dancing around the bed in her Penny's pajamas, was a bit, oh no, someone else was dancing around the bed, but she was in her Penny's pajamas.
She was.
Well, she said herself that was like primary school. Now doing all the Eurovision tours are like secondary school, and she looks like,
yes, much more polished now, much more polished.
Mm-hmm. And she says that the semi-final performance will be her graduating to university.
And again, she seems to be having a lovely time, so that's great. It's good to see it.
So go Brooke, let's hope you get through to the final. She's not going to challenge the top 10 though.
No,
definitely a better song than last year.
Oh,
poor Leslie Roy with Maps, which was awful last year.
Not her fault, but
Okay, North Macedonia, Andrea, Circles.
Meh.
We all just sigh.
Yeah, middle of the road, nothing special, nothing interesting.
Okay, Estonia, Stefan, Hope.
I actually love the song. And I think that there is a growing kind of, well, again, within the sort of Eurovision geek crowd, but I think there's a growing number of people that really enjoy this vibe. So, for me, this is quite a different entry to the rest of this year. It's got almost a bit of a country western, but more for me like an American folk style thing. It reminded me, I don't know. No, I'm not going to say it, but I just think it's quite cool. I think he's got a great voice, and I think the song itself is lovely. It'll depend on staging, but I think he's a strong contender for me.
Interesting. Now, the video was like a very self-aware spaghetti western, and went to Spain to shoot it in, where those things are shot. It didn't do it for me, I will say, but that's because I have a sort of genetic aversion to country music. Like, I just can't. But he did have a very good voice. So again, curious to see what the performance is like.
Yeah.
I know, Caroline, you should really check this one out. I think we need to get your opinion on it. So,
okay. Yeah. I think this one would do well in American song
I think
contest.
So too. I think so too.
I also think so, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. You'll be surprised who's doing well in American song contest.
Oh yeah. We're gonna get to that because I've got some opinions. Yeah.
Okay, we'll run through the rest of these guys. Romania, WRS, La Mame. Yeah. Oh my god.
It's just going for that dancey thing.
Yes. Campy, dancey, 90s Euro trash pop thing. No.
Poland, Ochman River. This is another boy ballad.
I have another one just says not memorable dude ballad. So
no.
Montenegro with Vlandana. This is a little bit different. I like it a bit.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I don't think it's going to do super well, but I do think it is quite cool.
I think the positioning after Romania and Poland is quite good. Maybe it'll lift it. Belgium, Jeremy, miss
this
you.
Is very this sort of, again, kind of generic R&B, really.
Generic hip-hop, kind of, yeah.
I got a bit of a gospel vibe from it. Okay. No, it was a no for me, dog.
Yeah. Sweden, Cornelia Jacobs.
Marvelous song.
This is number one for me, I think.
She is really? Very good performer. Very good performer. Again, it was very polished, very professional. So, I mean, this is very obviously, strong. I think, the number one for this group. I mean, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, I think she's really strong. I think she's a sure in for the finals. I think she'll do very well. My only feeling is that now, after listening to it a good few times, again, you can't judge it by that, but now it's starting to sound like a templatized good song something interesting.
Yeah.
But I do think it's wonderful, and I think she's a great performer, and she's gorgeous. Holy shit.
Oh my God, she's gorgeous. And she has the voice as well. And her performance at the Melodian Fest was just so pared back and amazing. I absolutely loved it. Anyway, there we go. Czech Republic, We Are Dummy, Lights Off. I kind of like this a bit. Okay, no.
Wasn't my thing. Nah, I didn't like the dystopian video either, because I was like, we have too much of this.
We don't need a video for dystopia. Yeah.
Nah, didn't do it for me.
Okay. My God, that took far longer than we thought.
But we do need to talk about the top five.
We do need to talk about the big five. Yeah.
The big five.
Yeah, the big five.
Okay, so let's go. I haven't them written down. So we have Spain, Chanel. Oh my God. Overhyped girl in far too little clothes, jumping around the stage.
Exactly.
And can I just see how the song was so self-consciously trying to be diva? You know, and again, it's like, you know, it was 20 some odd years ago. Let's have something more interesting. If this is going to be the vibe, sure, but do make it new, make it fun. Yeah.
For me, I can't stand it. Actually, I don't mind the song, but I can't stand the trope I don't like it. So, and I hope it doesn't do well, although it will probably do well.
UK, Sam Ryder, Spaceman. I quite like this song.
I guess like the order of magnitude better than last year. It's a good song, good performer. So just, you know, certainly one of the top two of the big five. We'll say it that way.
He's in my top 10.
I don't know. Top two of the big five. I don't know.
I'm saying top two of the big five. We'll see.
So let's go France. So France have done a weird shift and have entered a song in Breton this year.
Yes.
It's Alvaz and Follin, is it?
Alvan and Ahez.
Alvan and Ahez.
This is my number two. I love the song.
I love it. It's going to get all the like Riverdance-y types. And if you look at the translation, because I went and got the translation of everything, it is bonkers. And I love it. Because, you know, sort of, I'll just get little parts of it. But, you know, I dance, ignoring the wild animals. I steal the fire from their lustful eyes and turn it into a song to be sung in unison. She dances with the devil. So what? I dance with the devil. So what? And then burning in mud, burning feast and mud. The forest vibrates. I'm like, yes, yes. It's insane.
I like
it. I'm here for it. And then there's a lot of la, la, la.
The only thing that could make this not do well is the live performance.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
There's been good ones and bad ones that I've seen now in the running up to the things. Holy shit, when they perform. But when they're not on their game, then it's kind of shit. But I love the song. Absolutely love it.
Absolutely. Yep, and then I think, Katie, you had before we go this one, I think you had the effect with this is the first time there has not been a French song
entry
at all.
Ever since the inception of the Eurovision. This is the first time there has not been a song entered in France or sung in France. In comparison to last year where we had Switzerland, France, and there was a hint of French off the Malta entry with Je Me Change.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. I like them. They're not in my top three, but they are in my top 10. How about that?
Mm.
Okay. So then we have Germany. I can't actually remember Germany.
It's an Malik okay Harris song. With rock stars. Yeah.
It's like we're all coming out of the pandemic and we're all amazing. And it's a good sentiment. It's not a great song.
Yeah. And he's a very good performer. Yeah. I think, you know, top marks for that. But yeah, the song is just a little bit meh. It's, again, sentiment there, performance there, but the song itself just, you know, let it down.
Not really my favorite, but it is quite a nice song.
Now Italy have been very very well hyped with Brivdi. Mahmoud and I can't remember the name of the other
Blanco.
Blanco and Mahmoud.
Yeah.
So it's a boy duet, I suppose. Yeah. A boy ballad duet.
Yeah.
It is a good song. I like the song. I like listening to it. It is in my, it's definitely my top 10.
Yeah.
I actually didn't love the song. I'm gonna get sentiment, good, you know, attractive men, good, you know, I was here for that. I couldn't get into the song itself. But again, I may be an aberration.
Now you see, I at first didn't like the song and didn't give it the time of day.
Interesting.
But it's grown on me, but only, funny enough, because of their live performance. I think the video is shit, but when they perform, they've got this like incredible chemistry and they just perform it really beautifully, and that elevated it for me enormously.
That I could see.
A lot of people really like it, and a lot of people are almost banking on Italy winning twice in a row. I don't think it's going to win.
I don't see that.
I think it's going to do well.
I don't know. It could. Possibly. I don't know. Anyway, we were going to go on now and do a what are you drinking with our favorite countries.
Okay.
Who wants to go first? Here. Who's ready?
All right, I can go. And I'm sticking with Norway. And actually, I also have something from the Amundsen Brewery. This is Purple Dragon, which is a hazy IPA. So we'll see.
Very nice.
Okay, so, I have moved on to Switzerland. I have a Scandinavian West Coast IPA from the brewery Stigberts, and it is in Gothenburg.
Excellent.
And I haven't tried it, but it is, we are recording this early enough in the day, and it's like a...
Not from Switzerland, Sweden.
Sweden.
What
Sweden.
Did I say?
Yes. You said Switzerland.
Oh, sorry, Sweden. Oh my God.
Certainly not that, yeah.
Switzerland are not going to win. Switzerland are not going to qualify. Sorry.
Nah.
No.
So I probably should have switched mine around, but either which way, my two beers are in my top three. So I've got an Icelandic beer. It's Einstock.
Oh,
and
very good.
Arctic Berry Ale, and I love the Iceland entry. I know it's not everyone's favorite, but I think it's beautiful. So between Iceland and Ukraine and France, those are my top three. Magnificent.
Okay. Excellent. Cool. This year, and Carolyn has just been sitting here going, I don't know what you're talking about, but this year is the inaugural American Song Contest.
Yeah.
Mm. And the time does not suit us over here.
No.
So we haven't really been following it so closely. So we have Carolyn on, and she has been, you know, keeping up to speed with what goes on. So tell us a little bit about it.
So there's 56 states/territories and 56 people on a jury vote one person in, and then America, because America always likes to vote people in like American Idol-esque. And then America votes the other three. And so there's four spots for each heat. And there's been four heats.
It's confusing. Okay.
The jury is made up of, the jury is made up of like people, like music, like people in the industry. So it's kind of interesting to see who they pick. Sometimes I agree with them. Sometimes I'm like, no. And then I get happy when somebody gets knocked down and somebody else is in place. So I'm like, I didn't like them to begin with. But yeah, so it's been interesting. Kelly Clarkson, Snoop Dogg, best host and hostess. Great job. Snoop Dogg's hilarious. And we all know why.
Yeah.
and Kelly Clarkson plays off of him very well. So I definitely appreciate the two people that they picked to host it. They make it fun.
And I actually saw Daddy Frere had a selfie with Snoop Dogg. And he's like,
yeah.
Myself and Snoop, you know, Iceland's entry for 2023. And I'm like, oh my God, could it happen?
Oh my God, could you imagine?
If San Marino could get Flo Rida, like, come on, you know, it's all possible.
So here's what I don't understand, right? So Carolyn, maybe you can help with this. But as far as I know, the American Song Contest now was meant to be a, let's say, Americanized or a slightly adapted version of Eurovision, but for the Americas. So there are 56 entries because it's the 50 states plus the six owned territories like Guam and Puerto Rico. Cool. Yeah. Now, the thing that is different, I guess, is that in Eurovision, you've got two semifinals and a final. That's it.
Right.
You know, the way that people qualify is inter-country. So you'll have your national kind of finals, which are not really televised all over the place. It's not as big of a thing.
Right.
But so you'll get almost the videos or a live performance as the official entry into Eurovision.
Right.
So there's only 3 days or three evenings that it's televised. But right. in the American Song Contest, it seems to be like a long-running show.
Yeah, so it's televised every week. But then they said they're going to wrap it up in 3 weeks. So I'm curious how that's going to work.
Yeah, well, the final is going to be on the Monday night before the first semifinal of Eurovision. Oh, okay. So Eurovision final week will be the final week for everything.
Yeah, and also the episodes are like 2 hours long.
Oh, wow.
With commercials. Well, so every time there's a song contest or music contest, they're always 2 hours long because they got to do commercials. But yeah, they've gone through a lot of people and it's been interesting.
And they have to have some kind of, and I'm air quoting for those just listening, they have to have some kind of tie to the state that they're, or territory they're representing. Yeah. But some of that is, I guess, a little bit notional. But all I have to say, the ones I have enjoyed are the ones that have kind of brought that. Like, I love the girls from Arizona. I thought they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they didn't get through. And I was like, oh, everything I like.
Well, actually, I was on Reddit and somebody actually did a map of who from each state either wrote the song, had partial writing credits, or did not write the song at all. And I'm like, I'm disappointed because I found out I think Arizona is one that did not write the song.
Oh, really?
This kind of annoys me because if it's an American Song Contest and you're performing it, you should have some sort of say in it, whether you partially wrote it or completely wrote it. And so that kind of makes me that kind of makes me mad because you're representing your state, you should at least have a say in your song. I'm just saying.
Interesting.
But I think that like in Eurovision a lot of the time you have like
the committee has it
Eurovision song mill and who's gonna sing
I'm just saying I know, but that's just my personal opinion.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
I like them. They were Las Marias.
Yes.
Yeah, I like them. And I really love the woman from Delaware, where she had a very sort of Janelle Monáe kind of David Bowie kind of vibe. She didn't go through, but I really liked her performance. I was like, oh, very cool.
Yeah, yeah. I was on Reddit and realized there's a lot of ballads and I didn't realize that
there is.
Until somebody pointed that out. And I'm like, can we get a little bit
something
more?
A little more interesting?
Because like Sweet Taboo, I wasn't sure if I was going to like them, but I actually ended up liking them. They were good. They
California,
were
right. They're
three, California.
Three girls. I like it. And their staging was a little bit different as well.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting as time goes on to see like what people do with their performances and stuff.
And one of the big differences that I've noticed watching the videos from the American Song Contest is that in the Eurovision, you're limited to six performers on stage in total.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm. Whereas in American Song Contest, you have dancers all over the place.
Yeah, there have been some really big numbers. Yeah.
I think it takes from the song. And oh my God, the production is absolutely amazing. Whereas you compare that to some of the, you know, the regional or the national qualifiers in Eurovision, where you are dancing around in your Penny's pajamas, you know, it's like it's very different. It's like, but that's America, right? Go big or go home.
Although I think the other interesting thing, it certainly, you know, within Eurovision, there are people who are well known in their home country or well known maybe regionally, is you know, you have some legitimately very famous people in the American one. And I mean, I guess
Macy
that was to
Gray.
Draw interest. Yeah, and she Macy didn't go
Gray.
Through. Macy Gray
Jewel.
Didn't go through.
Yeah. Jewel yeah. didn't go through yeah. either.
Michael Bolton.
Squealo, the guy.
Cisco.
Who
Cisco.
The
Cisco. Thong song.
The thong song. Honestly, watching him perform was great, but people have made a comment, watching him perform was great, but then when you hear the song, it's like not as like hyped up. Although I did appreciate him coming back. That was fun.
So Carolyn, have you felt like people, I mean, I know you can't speak for the whole of America, but like, have you felt that there's been a lot of hype for this contest?
I have not been paying attention to Twitter, but according to Kelly Clarkson's Snoop Dogg, there is. Like they actually did a map. Well, no. So they actually did a map of like where people are tweeting from.
Okay.
And UK and Ireland is like the most concentrated area in Europe where people.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Funny.
And yeah, it's been fun to watch. There is a lot of ballads. There is a lot of breakup Taylor Swift-esque songs.
There's a lot of men as well.
There's a lot of men.
Going
which is
through.
Fine. I mean, you know, whatever. It's just interesting.
I did think actually, like I was kind of seeing which ones would feel like at home on a Eurovision stage, and yeah. certainly not as many. But I think Texas, and that surprised me. He had a very kind of you know, and the girl vibe from about him.
The girl from Oklahoma.
Oh, was she the K-pop one?
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, yeah. She was cool. I liked her.
I have not watched her performance because the day that they were doing it, we had tornadoes here in Texas, and that took priority over American Song Contest. So
I did not get to watch that. But I prefer the Stella Cole. What
country? Yes.
Which one?
I prefer her. She was, her song was DIY, wasn't it? Yes.
Yes.
Georgia. I like
Georgia. Oh, I really, okay. I like that better.
I liked her song a lot. I wasn't sure. And then I was like, okay, I can get into this. Yeah. Like, I kind of like, she's a little bit different. Like her vocals are different, which is what I appreciate.
Yeah. I really, think it stands out.
Yeah. I really,
and she is a hot girl in a, in a, like a skin tight.
But it wasn't bad. Yeah.
No, it wasn't bad. And her song, she's an amazing voice. Oh my God. Can she sing? So that has definitely one of my favorites that I've listened. I haven't listened
Alan, to Alan. And Alan Stone is one of my favorites. I did not know who he was. He's a Grammy Award winning artist. Did not know who he was until this week.
I'd never heard of him either until earlier today.
So everybody on the interwebs is saying that he's probably going to be like top five.
Interesting.
I feel like he is like Michael Bolton with hair.
Yeah, he is very like younger Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also I feel like he gets it and is self-aware and, you know, is,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah. I just liked his style. I liked his vibe. It's very like 1970s like esque.
But now what happens to the winner? Like, do they then go off on sort of tour? They get a,
no, I don't know. People have been asking. I did hear they get their song played on iHeartRadio. So, you know, that's, I mean, that, well, no, that right there is going to be money in the bank for them. So I don't think they get any prize money.
I think what they do is, so the American Song Contest is sponsored by Atlantic Records. So I think they get a record deal with Atlantic Records.
And get played on iHeartRadio a lot.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say about it? I had something else. There were a few people that I liked that didn't make it, like the Crystal Method. There were,
and again, they're a real band, so yeah, like people have heard of them. Yeah,
there's a few people that they're like, oh well, we're rock, but then like what they play is like country rock, and I'm like, but this isn't rock. Like, oh, Chloe Fitzgerald, I liked her. She was rock 100%. Or Chloe Fredericks. She's from North Dakota. She did a good job. I liked her.
Okay. Oh, I remember her.
Yeah, she was very, so it's been very interesting. To see how this plays out.
I listened to Oregon as well with their $1 million smoothie.
It's very popular, it seems. So
I just somehow think that that's very Oregon.
Very Oregon. Yeah, I could totally see that, them like playing like tap rooms.
Yes. I had to look that up because some of these were not memorable.
Yeah.
I fast-forwarded through. Yeah. I'm not going to lie because I'm like, this is a little too slow for my feeling right now. I listened to most of it, but I'm going to fast-forward through the rest because there's a lot of ballads and there's a time and a place for a ballad and sometimes I'm not in the mood.
Sometimes you want variety from a ballad. Like,
right.
Yeah. I think we've identified too many man ballads this year.
Eurovision. Jordan Smith, who is a past voice winner, I liked his ballad. It was a ballad, but I felt like he has enough vocal range to make it interesting.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
So,
if you hadn't got this like mission from us to go and find about the American Song Contest, do you think you would have noticed this? Yeah?
Yeah, probably. I mean, because I don't know. I like Kelly Clarkson and Snoop Dogg. And so I was curious to see, and this is the first year. So I was curious to see like how they were going to do it and what the outcome is. Like I said, I fast forward through, I record it. So I can fast forward through stuff that I don't really, it's not my vibe.
Oh my gosh. What I love is that the number of, I was reading interviews with some of the participants where they asked them, oh, and what do you know of Eurovision? And, you know, so many of them like, well, I saw the film. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's adorable. But, and again, a lot of them are very young. So that's totally fair. And
fine. But
and I was like, tall. It's adorable. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I like that they kind of have a jury and then they let America vote. But I mean, they kind of have to let America vote because they've done that with American Idol and The Voice. So like any song contest going forward, America has to vote. I mean, they don't have to, but I think there'd be an uproar.
But also they make money that way. So like it and it's good participation and all of the things. But
yeah.
I'm really interested. Look, I know it's only the first year. So it can only get better or grow or whatever after the first year. I wonder what it's going to be like, I don't know, like next year. After they've learned everything now about the way that they want to run this thing, what's going to change? What's going to stay the same?
Yeah.
And will it come closer to what Eurovision is or will it move along into its own thing? I don't know.
I think it'll be its own thing, to be honest. Like, it's just, I think it's more inspired. It's a spinoff and spinoffs aren't always...
Yeah, because I just think it's such an investment to have so many episodes. And I'm like, if there was two semifinals and a final, but then with 56 countries, that's a lot more than
right. And they also did that four heats. And then I think they only have two episodes. So they have 10 people because one person got voted in or one person. I don't know if they got voted in or chosen. They have redemption. Two people are redemption.
Oh, interesting. So
two people who did not get voted in get a second chance, I guess, is a good way to put it. So, yeah.
Interesting. That's interesting.
So, I like that. So one of the guys from Wyoming, so the guy from Wyoming, it's kind of like country rap, which I kind of enjoyed because it was a little bit different. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of cool that he like just did his own spin on it. And he got in the redemption. And I don't know who the second person is yet. So we will see. To be announced.
Oh, interesting.
That's very cool. Like I think we're gonna have to just dedicate that week. So from the 9th of May down to the 14th of the Eurovision final, but that week is just gonna have to be song contest week, and we're gonna have to figure out a way to watch the American Song Contest
finals. It'll be on YouTube. I'm sure they'll upload the performances.
Yeah, it is nice to be live.
You know what? Maybe like Sky or maybe like one of the networks in Ireland is connected to like NBC or whatever.
I don't know. Maybe they'll show the final. But the thing is that the time difference is it's the middle of the night. Yeah. So yeah, you're better off watching it online.
Yeah.
The day after. I'm not staying up that late. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Already staying up late for the final. Yeah. I mean, you know.
So.
And the semis. And hello, just a shout out to anyone out there. Do not organize a beer festival for the week of the Eurovision. It's happened last year and we were not happy.
It's the bane of my existence, guys. But for the final, I've got an event on that day. And I think I'm going to have to disconnect from everything.
Oh, no. Yeah. So just
I can watch things. But then I'm not going to be able to vote. And I'm going to be freaking devastated. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. At this point, I might just cancel my event. But I don't think I can do that.
Well, what you can do is I can text you the voting number for your countries of choice.
There we go.
Ukraine, France, Iceland.
Okay. And you'll see Ukraine and Iceland's performance in the semis anyway.
So. I'll see them.
You're only going to miss out on France's performance live.
Yeah, but I will watch the final. If I'm watching it at this South African festival on my phone alone, it'll be fine. As long as I can actually watch.
Someone else will be there. There was a South African woman at my park run today, so you know your people are all over. So they'll want to watch Eurovision too. Are.
I ended up watching Eurovision once on my phone at a Holy Communion.
Oh my.
Brilliant.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant.
Because I was like, I can't say no. It's a family member. I had to go. And I was like, it's the Eurovision. I don't care. Get over there screaming kids. You know, let's watch this.
So Katie, are you going to have another kind of Eurovision party this year with your games and your betting and all the things?
It will depend on the weather, I think. Definitely depend on the weather. I would love to have, I've had a party in the back garden before, but May in Ireland is not always nice enough weather to have a party. But this year I found out about Fantasy Eurovision. So
that's right.
Fanta Eurovision.com is a Fantasy Eurovision league that you can join, which I think is amazing. And they give you all the points. Well, the things that they give you the points for are amazing. Like it's things like have their own individual dance move. Use of a wind machine, use of a fog machine, you know, it is
costume
all these...
change, yeah. all of the things. Oh,
it is all
brilliant.
Of the good things.
Okay, listen, this is amazing. We need to we need to all go sign up now for Fantasy Eurovision, and we like, let's see who comes out.
It happens once a year, you know. I think it's an important you know, it's an important tradition, and I think now, you know, thinking, you know, what a genius Will Ferrell is making a seasonal film outside of the other big holidays that people are going to watch every year. They'll, you know, bring in those royalty checks, you know, whatever they are, like, brilliant, well done. And it's
and
such
I
a good
am
film.
Is wearing my Play Yaya Ding
Dong
shirt. And I actually recently went to Edinburgh and I went to the fountain where Will Ferrell was telling the Americans to go find a Starbucks. And
because that movie, like, gave me life. That movie it's is so good. And I always thought that I wasn't a Will Ferrell fan. And then I watched this one and I was like, no, he knows exactly what's going on in the world. He's brilliant. He's a genius. He's everything. But I like the fact that it's given Eurovision like a lot of hype and publicity. I think it's great. It's so good.
It's so good. It's so wholesome. And I just love, especially, you know, shout out to Dan Stevens being just phenomenal in it too. Like, so good, you know.
Oh my God, I love him. I love him. And I do love his recent shout out about Boris Johnson on BBC television. Tandy, if you haven't seen
this. That was pretty funny.
You should.
No.
I'll send you.
I'll go look it up. Yeah.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
Oh, I love
it. So any other Eurovision games that you play? We used to do drinking games when it was Terry Wogan doing the Eurovision. Because he has so many catchphrases.
He did.
Terry Wogan. Tandy's going, who's Terry Wogan? Terry Wogan.
I've heard of Terry Wogan and I know he used to commentate, but I don't know of all of the catchphrases and I don't know all of those things.
He is a Limerick man who became beloved by the BBC, I suppose, at a time when the Irish were not very beloved because there was a bit of conflict there.
there were some issues.
And like, what it's like, oh, this one could be a dark horse, and he would just have interesting isn't the right word, it's kind of like a dark commentary where it was
and he would drink a bit during it and he would be very open about that, and he was my introduction to Eurovision back in the 90s living in the UK where I was, you know, new to all of this, but he was there, you know, kind of the voice, this very sort of comfort blanket of a voice, and but also just like telling you like why this was ridiculous and wonderful. And but I think, you know, perfect, you know, heir to that throne in Graham Norton, you know, beautiful handover. Yeah. And I guess that's a question too, is, you know, do you watch which coverage do you watch? It's it's tricky.
I know Marty Whelan does the coverage in Ireland and he's a bit of an institution. Graham is just, he's so fun. He got into the movie.
So good. Yes, he got into the movie.
Yes, he did.
He's just, you know, but again, same kind of similar thing, you know, kind of comfort blanket. He's just so lovely and funny and charming. Yeah.
So last year, I think I watched on YouTube, so there was no commentary. And I really feel as if I'm missing the Graham Norton experience.
I think it's worth watching. Yeah.
Yeah. So I now need to figure out how to get the BBC version on my phone.
Now, the only thing is that Graham only commentates on the final. So Ryland usually commentates on the two semifinals and they're shown on BBC Three, whereas the final, I think, is on BBC One.
Yep.
Or two. I can't remember. One of them. The one of the main channels. So
I don't have any of the BBCs.
I don't know. You probably need a VPN.
You could get them on the iPlayer.
I've got a VPN.
Yeah.
I think the iPlayer, I think I've got the BBC iPlayer. I'll try it that way.
Yeah, we've got the free set, so we can watch live. So that's handy. But there's always a way. There's always a way.
Maybe for the semis, listen to Marty Whelan's thing.
That's a good compromise. I like that.
Graham won't be doing the semis. He only does the final.
Mm.
So there, yeah. So everybody sign up for Fantasy Eurovision. Oh, well, I set up a group.
Oh, yes. Let's have a group.
What we call it? Beer ladies.
Let's do it.
No one else will have that. They'll all have the Eurovision ladies, you know.
Set up a group.
Okay. I'll set up a group. The beer ladies. Everybody join our group, the beer ladies, which will be set up by the time this episode airs.
Yes,
I was like, oh, no, I'm going to have to do it right now.
And otherwise, tweet at us and we can send you a join link or something like that.
Absolutely. Oh, what a good idea. We're going to have fun with this. I'm excited.
Yes, we are.
Okay, I think we've covered, well, actually, you know what, we haven't covered half the things, but this is this is where our episode is going to end, I think.
Yeah, we did know we, this goes
did,
long
did
but
we
it's,
want to
it's worth it.
Do one prediction of the winner.
Oh, go on. I've got my top three. We could each compare our top three and just, you know. So I've got Norway, Ukraine, France. So I'm gonna stick with that.
Interesting.
I have Sweden, France, Norway.
Oh, I mean, she is good. Interesting.
Interesting. So I've got, so for who I think is going to win, I want to say Ukraine, but I think Sweden, or no, Ukraine. I'm going to say Ukraine. And I think Sweden's going to be second. And I think Italy's going to be third.
Italy. Interesting.
We'll see. Interesting. I'm probably wrong, but we'll see.
But we've all gone for different countries there for our number one. So it's like, there is no consensus. You know,
absolutely.
It is all to play for, and it all comes down to how they perform on the night.
100%. And that's the fun thing is, you know, drink along with it, and it is the, you know, one of those nights I stay up late and have a couple beers, and you know, let the small kids stay up, and it's you know, it becomes a big event. So.
Oh, definitely. I love it. I can't wait. I hope the weather's good, and then you can come to my house. If you want to.
Ooh, maybe. And I will say as well, for anyone in and around Dublin chapters, now that they are reopened, yay, have a ton of books on Eurovision and Ireland's role in Eurovision. So if anyone feels they need to read up, you can go and feel, you know, sort of feel like you're sort of edified by picking up a couple books. So.
And one of the things, if Sweden do win the Eurovision, they will equal Ireland's record of 7 wins.
You know? Oh, yes. I will say I am wearing my ABBA. I still need to get to the ABBA museum. That's like a, you know, goals. So
definitely.
That's awesome.
I'd love to do. I saw a travel documentary with what was his name?
Oh, Richard Ayoade.
Richard Ayoade. He went there on he used to do a travel show, and Joel Isett do it now.
Which is a wonderful show. Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it. They went to the ABBA Museum. He was not impressed, but his guest absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I've seen part of it that they took to the South Bank Centre in London a couple of years ago. It was amazing and I had the best time. So, but I need to see the whole thing. So
I know. And in the museum, there's actually a phone. And it says, if this phone is ringing, a member of ABBA is calling. And you're supposed to pick them. And apparently they dial in every now and again. And you pick up the phone.
How funny is that? And there's Benny, on the other end. How funny is that? And then I still need to, I'm going to London for a conference in June. I need to get to this weird, you know, virtual reality business. And because why not? I mean, you can't not go. So we'll see.
Okay.
That sounds fun.
I think we're going to leave it there.
On that note,
I hope you have enjoyed our recap of all of the Eurovision and a little delve into the American Song Contest as well. Keep that week free. 9th, 10th, 12th, 14th of May. Okay. Nobody be inviting us anywhere, right?
Absolutely.
We're not going. We're sticking at home. Might have to ring in sick a few days. I don't know. It's okay. My boss doesn't watch this. I hope. Hi, Bob. Anyway, please, if you like this episode, share, like, subscribe. We are at Beer Ladies Pod on Twitter. We're at Beer Ladies Podcast on Instagram. We're also on Facebook. We're on YouTube, and you can support our outfits, support our beer habit. I'll put this on to say goodbye to
that's
you.
Brilliant.
There we go.
Give that wolf a banana.
Give that wolf a banana. So I'm gonna say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye everyone.
Bye.
Happy Eurovision.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.